Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
All right. The topic we are going to cover this morning, the title of the message is Haunted, Pursuing the Paranormal. I'm doing this because it seems that our culture is becoming increasingly obsessed with all things paranormal. According to a Gallup poll, 3 in 4 Americans believe in the paranormal, and in a recent Pew poll, 40% of Christians believe in psychics. 29% of Christians believe in reincarnation, and 26% of Christians believe in astrology. That is, the position of the stars and planets can affect people's lives. And the entertainment industry has taken note by responding with a plethora of video games, television shows, and movies, with such offerings as Ghost Stories, Paranormal Activity, Insidious, and It, just to name a few. Anything with ghosts, witches, zombies, demonic activity, or psychic power is certainly big business. In fact, there are even phone apps that have ghost meters to assist you in detecting ghosts. One could say that it seems the paranormal has now become the new normal. And it's not just haunted houses and witches at Halloween, but it's worked its way into everyday life through things like Eastern mysticism and Mother Earth practices and philosophies. And before we jump into the topic, I think it's important for all of us to be on the same page regarding the spiritual lay of the land, if you will. That we would get our spiritual bearings so we understand what's what and what is at stake. Our world and everything in it, including ourselves, was created by God and for God. He is the great, the awesome creator of all things seen and unseen. And he is the redemptive lover of people. He has revealed his truth to us in the Bible, and the Bible clearly teaches that he is the only true God. In fact, all other gods are not gods, but are in reality fallen angels, demons we might call them, who have rebelled against God. Their leader is Satan. In Ezekiel chapter 28, we learn that Satan was at one time the guardian cherub over God's throne, until, according to Isaiah 14, pride filled his heart and he sought to dethrone God. Revelation chapter 12 tells us that he led an angelic revolt against God, with the result that one-third of the angelic host followed him in his rebellion. Those rebel angels we call demons. Their leader, a rebel angel himself, we call Satan or the devil. Satan and his demons are opposed to God, God's people, and will do everything they can to thwart the plan and purposes of God. They do it primarily by deceiving people, by causing people to think there is no God, or that there isn't just one true God. They deceive people to believe that there is one, more than one road to heaven, or that there is no heaven at all. They deceive people into thinking that supernatural power is available to people in a variety of ways, and that any, if not all, power or energy is good and not harmful. This is why the Bible is so important, because it anchors us in a culture of changing opinions, in a culture of shifting moral sands. The Bible offers us the stability and the clarity to evaluate our world and to discern what is happening. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're reminded by the Apostle Paul of the spiritual nature and the spiritual warfare that surrounds us, lest we get caught up in thinking that somehow all there is just what we see. Paul writes, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world." All of these are demonic hierarchies, ranks of demonic beings, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians something that we all must remember and never forget. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. He seeks to make you think it's good when it's not. There are things that you and I must understand as believers about Satan. Let me give you a list. Before I give you the list, let me just mention, you can go on the James River app. You'll find notes, scriptures, and resources for further study regarding the information on this message, which you may, in fact, find helpful. 8 things we know about Satan. Number 1, he is not all-knowing, nor is he all-powerful. Number 2, he is not God, and he is not as powerful as God. As a created being, he cannot see the future, nor can he know the future. Time only applies to created beings. God was without beginning or end. He was never created. There was never a time he didn't exist. Therefore, God exists outside of time. Therefore, God is able to see the beginning and the end simultaneously. He is I am, the ever-present, eternally now God. He can tell you the future because he's at the future. He can tell you the past because he's at the past. He knows all things equally and effortlessly. That is not true of any of his creation. Number 3, Satan is not, as the Mormons teach, the brother of Jesus. It's not like they have Jesus. Jesus is God. Satan is not God. He is, number 4, a fallen angel. Number 5, he is a murderer. John chapter 8 and verse 44 says, "You belong to your father," this is Jesus speaking, "the devil, and you will want to carry out your father's desires." He was a murderer from the beginning. He loves death. He laughed yesterday at what happened at the synagogue. Anytime somebody sorrows over death, he delights. Number 6, he is a liar. John chapter 8 and verse 44 says he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is Jesus telling us about the devil. Satan's biggest lie is this: bad is good. Wrong is right. Harmful is healthy. Immoral is moral. Number 7, he is a destroyer. He wants to destroy people's faith. He wants to keep them from believing in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief, that Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy." Number 8, he is defeated. John chapter 12 says, "The time for judging this world has come. when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. When Jesus came to earth, it was the beginning of the defeat of Satan. We read this in Revelation, speaking of that final moment of his defeat. Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the false prophet. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So let me summarize it this way. On one side, you have God, his people, his angels, his plan, his power. And on the other side, you have the world of the paranormal, which is the world of Satan and his demons. And as a Christian, you don't want anything to do with this side. Satan and his demons will try to entice you to open your life to his world, to his influence, to invite him in without even knowing what you are doing. But if you do, you're engaging with demonic power. You're connecting with Satan and his demons. You're opening up your life to their presence, to their activity, to their influence. And you can be sure of this, they will enter. And nothing could be more dangerous spiritually or more disastrous. In the words of one man, to be careless regarding the paranormal for the Christian is not just playing with fire. You are dousing yourself with gasoline and lighting the match. With that being said, what I want to do is I want to, in our remaining moments, to cover five areas of paranormal activity. There could be others, but we'll do well to get through the five. Area number one, pursuing information via the paranormal. Pursuing information via the paranormal. What we're talking about is things like horoscopes, fortune telling, Ouija boards, psychic hotlines, tarot cards. Through each one of those things, the user seeks to derive knowledge. That knowledge has to come from somewhere, and since it's not coming from God or the sources that God has ordained, then it's coming from the devil and his demons. There's no such thing as a cosmic consciousness or a secret knowledge about the future of your life or someone else's life. When it comes to horoscopes, God did create the planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, and he ordained their orbits. In Job chapter 9, all by himself, it says, he stretches out the heavens and strides on the waves of the sea. He designed the Big Dipper and Orion and Pleiades and Alpha Centauri. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, the Lord tells Moses, be careful to guard yourself so that you don't look up into the skies and see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the constellations of the skies and be seduced into worshiping and serving them. When you pay attention to a horoscope, you are worshiping and serving the planets. You're ascribing to them a power that is not theirs, that is not ordained by God, and that is simply a matter of demonic deception. That verse points to the temptation to make more of the stars than there is, to see them as having some magical, some godlike, some mystical property, and thus use them to divine the future. That's what astrology does. It seeks to gain supernatural wisdom or knowledge from the location and alignment of astral bodies. But God never designed them to do that, nor did he intend that we would look to the stars for knowledge. And when a person does, you are entering the realm of the occult, and you are opening yourself up to demonic power and influence. Listen to Isaiah chapter 47. All the advice you receive has made you tired. Where are all your astrologers, those stargazers who make predictions each month? Let them stand up and save you from what the future holds. But they are like straw burning in a fire. They cannot save themselves from the flame. You will get no help from them at all. If you're looking to a horoscope to discern what this week's going to be like, what this month's going to be like, what this year's going to be like, stop it. If you're playing with a Ouija board, tarot cards, calling psychics, you have no idea the power that you're messing with. You say, I don't believe in psychics. I just like to do to see what they'll. Listen, you are opening yourself up to the power of the enemy in your life. Satan and his demons cannot see the future. They can only, from thousands of years of observation, guess what will happen. But they cannot know with any certainty the future. Only God can know the future. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 2, people consult idols and fortune tellers, but the answers they get are lies and nonsense. Some interpret dreams, but only mislead you. The comfort they give is useless. In Isaiah chapter 44, this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer and Creator, I am the Lord who made all things. I alone stretched out the heavens. Who was with me when I made the earth? I expose the false prophets as liars and make fools of fortune tellers. As well, let me just add that there is no one who can contact the dead. That is not a possibility, scripturally speaking. There is a popular TV program called The Long Island Medium, which features a woman who purports to channel the deceased and have conversations or receive impulses from them. Listen, let me just say this to you. If you or the medium with whom you are working receive contact from the dead, you are either being tricked or you are in contact with a demon. So either you are being fooled and played as a fool, or you are entering a hellish nightmare beyond what you can imagine. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 says, don't practice divination, sorcery, fortune telling, witchery, casting spells, holding seances, or channeling with the dead. People who do these things are an abomination to God. Strong language. You say, but I need wisdom. I need information. Then take the counsel of Isaiah chapter 8. When people tell you, try out the fortune tellers, consult the spiritualists, why not tap into the spirit world, get in touch with the dead? Tell them, no, we're going to study the scripture. People who try the other ways get nowhere, a dead end. In other words, God's word and his spirit working in us has given us all things we need pertaining to life and godliness. It's all right there. Well, there's a second area that I want to talk to you about. That is the area of connecting with powers, energies, or forces. Usually that is done through an object, and the objects are varied, and certainly what I'm presenting to you is not in any way all-inclusive. One item might be like a dream catcher. Here's a picture of it, a circle with feathers, kind of a Native American-looking device intended to stop dreams that are bad and catch dreams that are good and then channel them down into you as you sleep. Another would be a talisman or a lucky charm, if you will. And here's some examples where people will wear something. It could be something like that. It could be a stone. And the belief is that somehow that brings health, that brings wealth, that brings energy, that brings favor, that brings good luck in the situations and events of life. In Ezekiel, we read this in Ezekiel chapter 13. Therefore, God says, I'm against all the devices and techniques you use. When a person uses that, you're using something God is absolutely against. He says, I'll rip your magic bracelets and scarves to shreds and deliver my people from your influence so they'll no longer be victimized by you. Listen, what those things do is they demonically influence you and ultimately victimize you. Another thing, object that people use that is very popular is crystals. A lot of people are fascinated with crystals, regarding them to possess mystical power that can be utilized for healing purposes. Some believe that crystals or gemstones can stimulate spiritual growth and positive life transformation. Some have suggested, even within this church, that what you need to do is you need to take and put a certain gemstone in your hand and use it as you pray, and it will intensify your prayers. That's evil. That tells me the person who would counsel that has more confidence in Mother Earth than Father God. One website promoting the power of crystals writes this: harnessing the energy of the sun, the moon, the ocean, semi-precious stones connect us to Earth as soon as we come into contact with them. It takes a conscious effort to open your heart and mind to the power of crystal healing. But once you begin, the journey is studded with beautiful, mysterious, and unique crystals that will rock your world. That's true. It's demonic. Would you notice the open your mind? That is a very dangerous thing for a person to do, to open your mind to occultic power and occultic influence. God has given us the mind as a gateway to the soul, to guard what goes in, to guard against certain things coming in, lest those things at the core of our being govern us. Crystals are promoted for clarity, energy, protection, healing, relief from grief, menopause, and insomnia. And most, if not all of it, is absolutely demonic. We have one person who was advocating, this is in the church, so if you wonder, what's the deal? Here's the deal. In the church, we had somebody who was suggesting that couples that could not conceive, that they sleep or have in their bed a doll from Africa who could help them conceive. That is voodoo. And when a person opens their life to that, you are introducing demonic power that ultimately, I'm not saying initially, ultimately be cataclysmic. It's a third area, Wicca. It used to be that witchcraft was much more commonly associated with Satanism, voodoo, and black magic. And while there are still people who engage in that kind of magic, today, witchcraft has become much more mainstream with something called Wicca. Wicca, it might interest you to know, is one of the fastest growing religions in the United States. Websites devoted to Wicca are the most visited religious websites on the internet today. Wiccans would like us to believe theirs is the oldest religion on earth. But scholars who have studied Wicca and its teachings have found that it is a blend of ideas and rituals influenced by Masonic ritual and the world of the occult. It was actually created in its present form by an English anthropologist by the name of Gerald Gardner, who died in the mid-1960s. So Wicca is not the ancient religion some would have you believe. Wiccans talk a lot about the Mother Earth goddess and believe that everything in nature, rocks, trees, and animals, all have spirits. They have moved to the front of our culture by essentially commandeering Earth Day and those kinds of acknowledgments within the culture. Wiccans practice two types of magic, low magic and high magic. There is a priesthood which is entered through participation in various sexual rituals, and Wiccans cast spells to improve everyday life for themselves and for others. That's not to say that there are not witches who practice both black magic and white magic. Recently, perhaps you heard of the group of witches who gathered for the purpose of cursing Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh as he took office. It's interesting that very same group offers a Valentine's Day special where you can, quote, hex your ex, end quote. Witchcraft, whether it's white magic, black magic, high magic, or low magic, is demonic. And it is evil. All forms of witchcraft are strictly forbidden in the Bible. In fact, the Bible reserves the strongest judgment for those who utilize and practice witchcraft. Galatians chapter 5, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, which we'll talk about in a moment, and witchcraft. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You come down to the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Revelation chapter 22 says, but outside for good are the filthy curs, sorcerers, or those who practice witchcraft, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, all who love and live lies. There's a fourth area where there's paranormal activity. Let's call this entertainment. Let me just briefly mention scary video games, TV shows, and movies. Our society is literally inundated with them. And I think the question is, it really boils down to this: is it okay to play them or to watch them? Scripture says this in Ephesians chapter 5, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. That's pretty simple. You say, what does that mean? Okay, let's do this again, class. Have nothing to do with, that means avoid, that means stay away from, that means don't look at it, that means don't talk about it, that means don't think about it, that means don't spend time with it. Have nothing to do with it. Absolutely shun it. But rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Hey, what'd you think about that? Or did you see that? It's shameful. It has no redeeming value. In fact, has just the opposite. It's not spiritually neutral, is what I'm trying to say. When our kids were growing up, we had for the whole time, we hardly watched TV. We didn't have a TV initially until the church felt sorry for us and bought us one, not this church, but the other one. We would have this over our TV: I'll be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. This is the word of God. The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. Listen, when you set vile things before your eyes, it clings to you. Some of them, I don't know about that. Listen, have you ever found yourself listening to a song and you listen to it one week and the next week you're just like, you're like going through your routine in the morning or you're driving down the road and all of a sudden that song's playing in your mind? What's happened is that song, whether good or bad, clings to you. What you watch, the eyes are the window to the soul. What you watch, what you engage in, clings to you. It sticks to you for better or for worse. To that end, the question is not how close can I get to the edge and not fall over. The real question is how far do I need to stand back to be safe? And especially as a parent, what do I need to do to be a guardian for my children to make sure that they have every opportunity to have a fully formed spiritual consciousness and awareness of the Lord Jesus Christ with nothing to deceive them, convolute them, or trick them? It's hard enough to grow up without having demonic influence working against you as a parent. What we watch does affect our spirit. You see, what we watch has an influence. I've told this story before, but perhaps you haven't heard it, but it illustrates the point. Earlier in our ministry, there was somebody that called the church, and they said, do you believe houses can be haunted? And I said, yes, but let me just say this to you. When somebody tells me about a haunted house, my first response is, I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm not like, where is it? Let me go see. Let me get my app out and get my ghost meter loaded on there. And, you know, so I'm just a little bit like, I don't know. So we sit down with the family and essentially what they say is they say, you know, we've always kind of thought our house was haunted. And I was like, well, why would you say that? They said, well, you know, we would have, you know, like when we'd walk down the hall, we'd feel like something brushing by us. And then we'd hear every now and then a door creak. And then we would laugh about it and say, that's our friendly little ghost. And then we'd walk down the hall and the thing started grabbing at us. It was like we'd get grabbed. And again, we were like, you know, hey, just playing around and no big deal, which, you know, it's amazing what people will put up with. I mean, really. So like this was going on and they said, and then we'd like at times hear like somebody was talking in the house, but it wasn't us. So one night they said we were all gathered around. The dad was an over-the-road truck driver, but he was in town and they were gathered. It was an evening and they were in their family room and watching TV all of a sudden, they heard a voice that shouted out, "This is my house! Get out!" And they did. They ran out the door, and they would not go back in. So they asked us to come over, and we visited with them and talked with them, and come to find out, and just walking, you know, we said, you know, you need to remove it. You brought in Nicole. Well, we don't think so. You know, we don't feel like we have. Well, one of their children worked at a theater and got all of the paraphernalia and the promotional things that comes with some of the different demented movies and had them up and was very much into that. The room was covered with those kind of things and with some pornography. And that was really the source of where everything was emanating from. We told them, you're going to have to get rid of all that stuff, burned it. We prayed over the house. And to my knowledge, the ghost never came back, but they did sell the house. So all that to say, what you see, what you listen to, what you expose yourself to, what you bring into your home can open your home to the presence of the enemy in ways you can't begin to imagine. If you'd asked that family, do you think this kind of activity would create that kind of outcome? They would have said, that's ridiculous, I promise you. All this simply to say that the paranormal is not something that any of us should take lightly. And all of us should have a healthy understanding of the power and the source of that power, that it is demonic. The fifth area I want to visit with you about is yoga. Now, I realize that for many who are listening to the message, either at this campus, one of our other campuses, or online, that it seems maybe to you initially a bit shocking, perhaps a bit out of place, that in the middle of talking about paranormal, how did we make the leap over to yoga? That alone, really, for me, is an indication of how far our society has drifted into a post-Christian culture. Earlier, it would have been a given that yoga was inherently a form of Eastern mysticism that Christians should absolutely avoid, but that is no longer the case. Yoga, it seems, is everywhere. For example, if you go to the local Y, and you go on their website and you click on the Healthy Living link, you'll find no less than 31 references to yoga. Advanced yoga, beginning yoga, chair yoga, gentle yoga, hot yoga, prenatal yoga, restorative yoga, senior yoga, vinyasa yoga, yin yoga, and yoga. As well, you'll find classes in meditation and classes in Tai Chi, which incidentally, we don't have time to cover Tai Chi, but it teaches this in a nutshell. It teaches that it is the highest conceivable principle from which existence flows. That's demonic. My point in mentioning the why is not to pick a fight with the why. The why does some very admirable things in the community. I'm simply, though, using the why as an example of the prevalence and the acceptance of yoga in our culture, and the overwhelming embrace it's received from an organization whose roots are decidedly Christian. It is, after all, the YMCA. We all go through the motions there. Young Men's Christian Association is what those letters stand for. The word yoga comes from the Sanskrit language, and the word means yoke. You know, like you've seen oxen in a yoke. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." But yoga offers a yoke by which you yoke yourself to the divine. The intent of yoga is to raise and expand consciousness for the purpose of experiencing peace, energy, and divine presence. This is accomplished by bringing the body, the mind, and the soul into unison. That happens by releasing a life force called prana through the body via 7 psychic centers called chakras. Yoga utilizes 3 means to achieve that goal. Let me give them to you. Number 1, pranayama, which is breath control, by which you tap in through your breathing, the control of your body, you tap in to not only the relaxation of breath, but the movement of the body to link you into a divine flow of energy. The second is asana, which is body positions. And every single body position has a meaning. Now, let me say this. Yoga positions were not designed by your local fitness instructor. They were designed, they were created with demonic intent to open you up to demonic power, because Hinduism is demonic. Every false religion is demonic. Hinduism is not a mild, gentle, pacifist religion. Anybody who says that has not visited India. Neither is Buddhism. We may have a sanitized view of it in our Western culture, but it is not pacifist. It is demonic. It is idol worship. For example, the body positions, and there are several. I'll give you just a couple of them. The sun salutation. These are the poses. The mountain pose forward, crescent lunge, plank, chaturanga, up dog, down dog. The salutation is meant to greet the sun and is used as a way to celebrate and worship the Hindu sun god, Surya, who gives health and immortal life. That's what all of those are doing. You're welcoming the sun god, you're greeting the sun god, you're paying homage to the sun god. That's what it means. The lotus position, very familiar to most people. The lotus position has sexual connotations as something in the spiritual realm that is known as the diamond enters you. People say, it doesn't mean that to me. Well, it doesn't matter when you're participating in yoga, that's what it means. To say that the positions of yoga are no more than exercise would be tantamount to saying water baptism is just aqua aerobics. There's a third area, meditation, which is designed to bring you into a place of consciousness, often associated or assisted, by a mantra. The word mantra is a combination of two words, man meaning mind, tra meaning transport, mind transport. A practitioner of yoga will seek to achieve a pure state of consciousness by chanting certain words or the sacred symbol, which is which is considered to be the primal voice of God. And it's not the true God, it's a demon. Even in hatha yoga, which many want to say is only physical exercise, the teacher greets the student, and the students greet the teacher with the saying, I honor the divine in you, which embraces pantheism and is therefore, at its get-go, a denial of the one true God. Hatha classes typically conclude with a 10 to 15 minute relaxation period to relax the body or still the mind. As part of this process, students are often given a mantra to repeat in meditation or chanting. Hindu mantras are typically the names of Hindu gods or goddesses, which violates the first commandment to have no other gods before our God. Listen to this. Swami Param says, participants should be invited up front to come study Hinduism, which is what they're doing when they're learning Hatha yoga. Now listen, yoga is diametrically opposed to Christianity. Meditation and yoga brings a person to a consciousness of nothing around them, an awareness of nothing around them. It lowers the mind gate that God has established for preservation, spiritually speaking, for a person. In fact, when you read sites regarding Kundalini yoga, it advises be very, very careful as you move into that, because as it releases the serpent located at the base of the spine, these are normal sites, say be very careful because it can cause the mind to be altered permanently. Meditation in yoga is consciousness of nothing. Meditation in Christianity is thinking about God's word specifically and the goodness of God. God never intended for us to empty our minds or leave the door of our minds unguarded. To do so is spiritually dangerous. Furthermore, as Christians, we're not called to escape the consciousness of this world by achieving an elevated state of consciousness. We're called to follow Christ in the way of faithfulness. Listen, you cannot separate yoga from its Hindu roots. Dr. Douglas Gruthus, professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary, said, I don't think Christian yoga works. It's an oxymoron. If it's truly Christian, it can't be yoga. All forms of yoga involve occult assumptions. Even hatha yoga, which is often presented as a merely physical discipline. To that end, Christians should stay away from yoga because of its demonic roots. You say, well, what's yoga? Beginner yoga, hot yoga, yin yoga, restorative yoga, chair yoga, upside down yoga, yoga. Participating in it at any level is potentiating the opening up of your life, your home, your situation to the demonic. You say, but now, time out, John. Time. We chant Jesus. Demons don't care what you chant, as long as you open the door to them. They don't care if you're at peace, harmony, have energy, or are in great shape, as long as you give them access to your life. People say, but my yoga is Christian yoga and doesn't have anything to do with yoga. Then my question is, why would you call it yoga? Listen, I close with this. 2 Corinthians. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What's the answer? Nothing. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? It can't. What harmony is there between Christ and the devil? There is none. In the message, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is talking about being careful about the demonic influence that comes by association with things that are clearly demonic. In that case, meat offered to idols. And here's what he says. I don't want you to become a part of something that reduces you to less than yourself. Can I just say to you that as a pastor, that's my concern? I wouldn't want anybody to participate in something that unknowingly causes them to be less than they could have been in Christ, to be less, to have less than the fullest possible life they could have. And you can't have it both ways, banqueting with the master one day and slumming with demons the next. Besides, the master won't put up with it. He wants us all or nothing. Do you think you can get off with anything less? Listen, what you open yourself up to has profound consequences to your life personally, to your marriage, to your family. It has profound consequences. Don't be fooled. It does make a difference. And number two, if you trust Christ, you don't have to be afraid. I'm not advocating fear. I'm just saying avoid it. Avoid those places where there is demonic intent or where there is practices based on demonism, on idol worship, which is what yoga would be. You say, well, man, I've gone to the class, and man, I've done the sun salutation, and I've done the different things. Oh, now what? Here's what I would say. Don't do it anymore. Stop it. Say, Lord, I didn't realize that's what it was, and man, I'm here to honor you, and I'm not going to do it. But you don't have to be afraid. I can't say the same if you keep doing it. But if you say, listen, I'm gonna honor the Lord, then we don't need to fear the devil. In the words of Martin Luther, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Those are the words from the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. I hope this is helpful for your consideration. I don't do it to make anybody mad. If I made you mad, that's unfortunate. But I have a responsibility before God as the shepherd of souls to say, I've told you the truth. Debbie was in California. She was sharing with somebody what we'd be talking about potentially, and the person said, they'd never say that out here. People would be furious. Listen, I simply want people to know the truth. You may disagree with me, but if you do, I challenge you and encourage you not to walk out of here saying, well, I just think, listen, it doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what is true. And when you research it out, you'll find out that what I'm saying is not even the half concerning what's at stake there. I started the week less concerned about it than I finished the week by a long shot. Be careful. Be wise. Be a lover of God. Seek what you need from Him. Let's pray.